great to be here. And thank you, Suzanne, for that wonderful music. And Sherry, that was so inspirational. Now, I'm supposed to be the inspirational speaker, so I think I could just sit down right now. Right? That was wonderful. And Linda. Linda just exudes loving kindness. So I figure if I hang out with her, maybe. I believe in miracles. So, okay. So I'd like to start with a question. You ready? If you wanted to know how people thought about you, where might you go? If you wanted to know what people thought about you, where might you go? Well, you could try dying, coming back to life, and attending your own funeral. Well, that's kind of what happened to a woman by the name of Dorcas, and we're going to meet her shortly. Also, in a few moments, I'd like to explore with you the life of this lesser-known woman found in only 7 verses of the Bible. Acts chapter 9, beginning to read at verses 36 to 42. Now, her Jewish name was Tabitha, and her Greek name was Dorcas. Now, I know a number of you have 2 cultures, so you might have 2 names. When I was a little girl in Italy, I was Anna Maria, Maria for short, and fast forward to my teenage years, I became Mary when we came to Canada. So you've got 2 names, Tabitha, Dorcas, same person. Okay, I'd also like to, by the way, funerals are generally dismal, dreary, deadly topic, pun intended. But this morning, we're going to go to the Bible, and we're going to attend one that it was uplifting and inspiring. But before we go any further, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, give us hearts and ears to hear from you and to receive from you. Help us to listen to the account of Dorcas from your word and apply the lessons from this remarkable life to our own life. Help us, as she did, to point others to you. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Now, this past year, we have been introduced to a number of extraordinary women found in the Bible, such as Mary, several Marys actually, Sarah, Ruth, Rebecca, Esther, Hannah, and many others. Now, these are definitely the superstars of our faith. But lesser known women can also teach us many important lessons. I'm trying to get comfortable up here. about faith and service to our Lord and to each other. Excuse me. I believe such a lesser known woman was Dorcas. You may or may not know her. She is an example that God has eternal purpose for each of us wherever he places us. One's work may seem to be mundane. Excuse me. And very ordinary, but our courage, faith, and trust never go unnoticed by God. In her own unassuming way, Dorcas went about her work and was a game changer who made a difference in her community and in her time. As I mentioned earlier, if you or I wanted to know how others felt about us, we could do so if we could eavesdrop in on our own funeral. In Dorcas's case, we are going to find out quite a bit about her what people said. What people said at her funeral. And without further delay, sorry, this is what we're going to have. This is our background here. What are we going to learn about Dorcas, and then what lessons are we going to learn from Dorcas? Okay. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 36 to 42. And you can either follow along or it'll be on the screen for us.
A certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out, and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord.
Now, the first thing that we learn about Dorcas is that she was a disciple. And I believe this is the first time a woman is called a disciple. There were many other women disciples, and that would be a wonderful topic, but we're not going to go into that today. Dorcas was a part of the inner circle of the followers of Jesus. She lived in Joppa, a seaport about 38 miles from Jerusalem. You may recall that Joppa is where Jonah fled to in trying to escape from God so that he would not have to preach to and perhaps offer salvation to the wicked Ninevites. He hated the Ninevites and he wasn't going to preach to them. So he tried to escape. Also, as far as historical context is concerned, a lot happened in the book of Acts. In chapter 2, after the arrival of the Holy Spirit into the life of every born-again believer, the church grew in leaps and bounds. The disciples were given powers to heal and even raise the dead. The early Christian church, built on grace, not the law, came into being. Also, in the book of Acts, salvation was offered to the whole world, not just the Jews. The second thing we learn in the account of Dorcas is that she became sick and died, and her body was attended to as was customary in that day. Dorcas was so well thought of by her fellow disciples that they reached out to Peter, who was in nearby Lydda. They hoped he could return to revive Dorcas. While Peter was on his way, scores of mourners wept and wailed where the body rested. Now, it was quite a chaotic scene, even by Italian standards. And some of you know exactly what I mean. Black from head to toe. Okay. Okay, I've kind of lost my spot here. Okay, so it was black from head to toe and fasting. Loud wailing were the norm. Now, I speak from experience. As a little girl living in Calabria in southern Italy, by the way, for those of you that are geographers, it's very close to Sicily. Every November 2nd, All Souls Day, we marched up a little hill to the grave sites, and the weeping and the wailing from grief-stricken mourners who were lined up could be seen and heard for many blocks. So in any case, as I previously stated, if you want to know how you are thought of by others, try dying and then attend your own funeral. You will hear what people have to say. In the case of Dorcas, the scriptures describe her funeral and what was being said about her. Her mourners, especially the poor and the needy, could not come to terms with their grief and the hole in their lives left by her passing, not just in their own lives, but in the whole community. From their perspective, no one could fill her shoes. The distraught widows at the funeral displayed Dorcas's handiwork, the clothing and the robes she had made for them. You can kind of picture that they would have these beautiful garments. Every garment was made with care, skill, passion, and love. In turn, no one could take Dorcas's place. She was so greatly loved. They just could not bear her loss, and so asked God to intervene. Others had been raised from the dead. Why not Dorcas? In any case, Peter was nearby, and so mourners were sent to get him. When Peter arrived, he cleared the room and prayed over Dorcas. He asked her to get up. She opened her eyes, stood up, and then Peter presented her to the believers, especially the widows. The Bible records that as this miracle became known, many believed in the Lord. Dorcas, in life and in death, gave glory to her Lord. Oh, to have this kind of impact and to make such a difference in so many lives. Now, a verse that comes to mind when I think of Dorcas is Matthew 5 and 16. Okay. I'm going backwards. Can you forward that, Jen? There we go. Thank you. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, what lessons can we learn from Dorcas? Perhaps first and foremost, Dorcas reminds us that there are no lesser persons in God's kingdom. God values and loves each and every one of his children equally, and that includes you, and that includes me. Although the story of Dorcas is short, it serves as a powerful reminder to each of us that every single woman here has value in the eyes of God. God has a purpose and a plan for every life. There is no such thing as an unimportant person. No one should be looked down upon because every single person Jesus Christ died for. That makes you extremely worthy in the eyes of God, who specializes in taking the ordinary person and doing extraordinary things with their lives. Case in point, Dorcas. And we heard Sherry's story this morning as well. Secondly, Dorcas dedicated her needle and thread to the Lord. She had talent in designing, tailoring, and stitching. Ring a bell, Sherry? She put her gift to good use, making clothes for the needy. She did what she could with what she had. We know that her faith in God moved her to use her gifts to help those in need in her immediate surroundings. Perhaps that is her challenge to each one of us here this morning. For example, everyone here has a gift that can be used to assist someone in need and advance the work of God's kingdom. Maybe you have speaking or teaching abilities or computer technical skills. I'd like to see you after if you do. I know from personal experience that many here have the gift of hospitality, cooking and baking skills. Others have important cleaning or organizational skills. Still others are great listeners, counselors, faithful prayer warriors. Any skill or gifting can be used to help others in a personal or practical way. And perhaps above all, what is needed to serve others and our God is what Paul mentions in Colossians 3 and 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And thirdly, let God use you to witness to others. Dorcas had shown many people God's love, but her death and return to life pointed even more directly to the Lord. There was certainly great rejoicing when she was restored, as well as a celebration of God's wondrous work. Ladies, we have a chance to lead others to know God better through how we go through each day, especially difficult ones. Be an example of agape love in our community, in our neighborhood. Be alert for practical needs that you can help meet. Be aware of prayer needs and faithfully lift them up. Be ready to share your personal testimony. God has always gifted women to bring positive change to their surroundings, and Dorcas was obedient to that call on her life. Dorcas is still a wonderful example of what it means to submit our talents to the Lord and to leave a legacy behind. And God will always multiply the blessings that come from our selfless giving. As 1 Corinthians 15:58 reminds us, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Oh, isn't it nice to hear the baby? Okay, just a quick review. Not that you guys need it. You're pretty quick studies. There are no unimportant persons in God's kingdom. Every person has a value and is loved equally by God. Let's use our gifts to serve God and others. Let God use us to witness to others. Now, to be clear, we don't do good works to earn our salvation. We are not saved by our good works. Or to get a reward. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 in the NIV says, by grace you have been saved through faith and not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus already paid the price for our salvation. He died on the cross for your sin and mine. Like Dorcas, we serve the Lord and others because we love him and we want to follow him. Perhaps you are a Dorcas lookalike. Let's see if this is any better. Yes, it is. I can see you people. Oh, you look good. Perhaps you are a Dorcas lookalike. Or you have a number of Dorcases in your life. On a personal note, as a very young teacher, I started teaching at age 20, and a few of you here started at age 20 as well. Anyway, as a young teacher, I was on the receiving end of a Dorcas lookalike. Her name, Jane Catawba, whose love, care, and service had a strong impact on me. Some of you knew her. Some of you are related to her. I believe God strategically placed me at the school where Jane worked as the secretary. Now, we would call them administrative assistants. There was just something about Jane. I noted that she loved me unconditionally. Big stretch there. And she seemed to love everyone around me. She gave the same efficiency, compassion, encouragement, and care to each of us, staff, students, and parents. Everyone. As the years passed by, I continued to observe Jane, who lived a life of honoring her Lord by her exemplary work. While Dorcas dedicated her needle and thread to her Lord, as did Sherry, Jane dedicated her tools to the Lord, her typewriter and later her computer and her phone. Her love for others spoke volumes to me as she emulated her Lord through her service to others at our school. In time, I too came to know Jane's Lord and Savior, and she was instrumental in bringing me to Bethel. So here I am, 40 years plus. Okay, one or two of you are happy about that. The rest of you, not so much. According to Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, our greatest evangelistic tool is God living in us. Case in point, Dorcas, Sherry, Jane, you, and me. In today's daily bread, I'm going out the door and my husband is showing me this. In today's daily bread, the feature article, amazingly, is Acts chapter 9, the story of Dorcas. I'm going out the door, okay? And it ends with this admonition. God calls and equips us to use our skills to meet the needs that are present in our community and world. Let's release our skills into the service of Jesus and see how he will use our acts of love to stitch, get this, to stitch hearts and lives together. So if you have our daily bread, you might want to check it out. Okay, a little bit of homework for you. As a teacher, you're going to get a homework. I'm going to call it application, okay? That won't sound as bad. I have a very brief but hopefully worthwhile homework exercise for you, a little application. Two little things. The first one is to list, 1, 2, 3 amazing or incredible women who left their mark on your life. Now the second one convicts me. Who would put my name on their list? How or why? Now, the assignment will not be collected or marked, but if you take the time to do it, I believe you will be blessed. So, in closing, the hymn we are about to listen to is entitled Thank You for Giving to the Lord by Pepping Chen. This hymn reinforces the message that I shared with you about Dorcas, who used her gifts to give to the Lord by serving others and expanding God's kingdom. As I listened to it, I thought about how sometimes the smallest gift we give to another person, even unknowingly, can change eternity. I am humbled and challenged to consider the reception I will have in heaven. Who If anyone will thank me for giving to the Lord, how about you?
Someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. So